I will be the facilitator of this conversation, meaning I will be the one that's asking the initial questions that are on the document and ensuring that the conversation continues to move on. This is an open dialogue, and so as I will pose the question from the questionnaire, you will have an opportunity, anyone, to answer the question as well as provide any feedback, ask a question, any of that. It really is a dialogue, and then we will move on to the next question. We have Ms. Kravrotis, who is one of our assistant principals. She is taking notes. You don't necessarily have to watch what is on the screen. She will be taking notes on the conversation, just really capturing the premise of the conversation. She is also a member of this team, so we'll be adding dialogue as she goes through. This is a public meeting, meaning anyone is welcome to come in and watch this meeting and the process of this meeting. So you may have individuals that may come and join to watch. We do typically have members of the media that will also be present, and it is a public and open meeting. So I want to make sure that we all understand that. Any initial questions around the process before we get started? At the very end, we will take a vote. You will take an individual vote. That information will be collected to provide a recommendation to the superintendent. At the end, I will collect your completed district media advisory questionnaire. So I will collect the questionnaires at the very end. You do not have to put your name on the questionnaire, but there is a signature line for the ballot. If you do not have the ballot, I have it. If you need an extra copy of the book, I have that as well. I also have extra questionnaires if you need a place to jot. Okay. So what brings us here today is that a member of our community has challenged or asked for reconsideration of the material, The Nowhere Girls. And that has been brought forward, indicating that the material contains pornography and are not appropriate for the age of the students, that the book has sexually explicit excerpts, including rape involving minors, and there's underage drinking and excessive profanity being used. Ms. Kravrotis, if you would bring up for us the statute around pornography and harmful to minors. All of this information was in your folder, but we're just going to reference what has brought us here today. If you'll take a moment to review the statute for pornography. Written material is included in this. The bold, the capitalization of and is there because there is an accompanying statute that goes with this. We will bring that up, which is harmful to minors. So we are going to make a determination after reading the materials if it is written to be predominantly appealing to a prurient, shameful, or morbid interest, if it is patently offensive to our community, which is why each of you community members are also here, parent and community members, and taken as a whole is without serious or literary value for minors. All right. Any questions so far? All right, let's jump into the discussion. So, and I'm going to be asking questions directly from the questionnaire. What do you feel is the purpose, theme, or message of the material?
Can we?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Just from a seated?
Yes.
Okay. I believe it was empowering young women to stand up for themselves and each other. Grace Aaron and Rosina overcame obstacles to create this group of change makers. And so that accomplished what I felt was the purpose or theme.
Yeah, along with that, I thought one of the messages is that when people band together, they're stronger and they can make a significant difference.
I put the power of community and solidarity within that community, as well as one of the purposes maybe for teens to recognize issues around consent as it relates to dating.
I think the material exposes the failure of schools, police, general public, so that a person who is going through a trauma like this may have friends and people who support, but the general establishment does not support and is not open enough for a person to really come forward and feel that they are being cared for easily.
Beautifully stated.
Well, absolutely.
I think it had a lot of messages, but then it was for great. One, the obvious objectifying women, misogyny, abuse, bullying, and the challenges of growing up with the expectations of society and with the roles they place on young people and discovering who you are. But it's also that very interesting piece I found in and loved in the book, which was Aaron and that acceptance of tolerance and tolerance of being different, but also recognizing people that are different and seeing them in a different way.
I think the book overall shows how rape culture is shown to be the vile, disgusting thing, unacceptable that it is, but that his understanding is just not met by society, that there is a bias towards believing men or women, that women's voices are simply not heard, loud enough, strong enough, or they're just not believed. And that it takes a unified front, sometimes to affect change. Found to be a positive message.
Sometimes the blame on the girls for having dressed.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
And on page 405 of the paperback edition that I have, the author explicitly puts resources in that underscore her purpose, including the National Sexual Assault Hotline, RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, Planned Parenthood, Our Bodies, Ourselves, Advocates for Youth, and Stop Sexual Assaults in Schools, which again goes back to underscore everything that's already been said with all of her many purposes that have been in this book. But I mean, if the author includes that page of resources, it is a direct attempt to mitigate the very real and painful effects of sexual assault and rape.
Next question is this purpose accomplished in the work?
Yes.
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 Emphatically.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Any examples of how it is accomplished or just...
It's been stated before that the girls band together to create, to become change makers because of how the establishment doesn't hear their voices, so they have to make their voices heard. And they do have success, although with some bit of luck by going to the county sheriff and having to go over the head of Police Chief Delaney. But yes, I think it does accomplish its purpose.
And a continuous work to continue to overcome challenges that they face in their mission for justice.
Continuous work for justice that shouldn't have to be worked for.
Right.
It should just be there.
Yep.
What I found scary about that whole section there was that even though the characters, they can be described as stereotypical, a lot of times the adults are as well, because you have adults who are literally laughing it off, adults who were simply too busy to pay attention to the kids, adults who, when told, actually worked against the children in the form of summer school administrators and such like that. And the very fact that they found a sheriff at the very end who would actually assist them, it's literally like a shot in the dark, stroke of luck kind of stuff. If that one person wasn't there with all of their efforts, would it have been for naught? Might have been a different book.
I felt more that the girls' struggle was really more of the story. And I think that they won when they realized how many other girls felt the same way, that right. they felt that that was their common, they weren't in the struggle alone.
Right.
I think that was where they won initially.
Yes. So. I also feel like it was not meant to be a comfortable read, and that is part of the power of the book. I cringed many times, but that's because I recognize this in the history of the women I know, my students, and it was uncomfortable, but that was, discomfort has some power when you learn.
I think it was a necessity that you saw it in that way, because there's no other way to make it real, to bring it home. And that was a big part of the growth and what we learned as readers, as well as what we watched the children learn.
And to add to that, I think that if it's going to have any impact with kids who are reading it, it's got to be real.
Yeah, it can't be sanitized.
Oh, man. They can sniff it out.
Condescending. It's not going to be as inspirational as I think it is.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. We will come back to the age that is suitable as we finish through the rest of the questionnaire. Are the concepts presented in a manner appropriate to the ability and maturity of the suggested audience? And again, this is going to be one that we're going to come back to as we talk about the statues that we've put up. Is we've talked about the theme, we've talked about if that was accomplished. We will end before the vote around is it appropriate for the maturity and the ability of the suggested audience. Does the material stimulate growth in factual knowledge, literary appreciation, aesthetic values, ethical values? Please explain.
I think that in the acknowledgments, I think something interesting is that this is, a lot of it is based on something that actually happened in Asheville. I was also a teenage girl online a long time ago, and nothing in that blog, I've read everything, one of those things in comments online. So I wish it was more fantasy, but I do think it shows a factual representation of how some people treat each other, as well as the concept of coercion not being consent, because I don't think that teens or adults always understand that concept, and I think it's important that kids know that begging and pleading or making you feel guilty is also not consent.
I think literary appreciation-wise, when I read it, I thought of Lysistrata immediately, so it's just a retelling of that Greek story that we probably read when we were in high school.
AP Lang.
Yeah.
Or literature.
Yeah, AP Lit. So it is Amy Reed retelling Aristophanes' story of, you know, withholding favors to end the war. So they're trying to end their war in their high school. It's the same story over again.
And I like how they have multiple narrators. You see it from each of their perspectives.
Yep.
And I like how they included multiple sources of media, from emails to text messages to they give a lot of variety of resources in that. And I also think that we understood the characters very vividly. And the setting was very vivid, and maybe that's why it was uncomfortable, because it felt very real. So I think the author did a great job in terms of those elements.
I believe the events that the negative events were told in a minimalistic style in order to just get the point across. So it's not, I don't feel it's in the negative.
It's not gratuitous. It's powerful and heavy, but not overdone.
Right.
And I also appreciated how they kind of wove in some of the things with Asperger's with the one character, and like I learned a lot more about that just from it.
Yeah, and I agree that the part that it was inspired by actual events is really important, because it challenges you. I know I started to want to know more and to do some research and to find out that how many sexual assaults go unreported because of very similar reasons for what these young girls stopped and forced me to think about, not only when I was younger, but even today as an adult, what do I do when I see things that are wrong? Am I turning a blind eye, or am I standing up for that person that, you know, may be wronged and is suffering? Or am I recognizing that somebody may be struggling and suffering and just seeing the world around me? And as you said, in regards to Asperger's, I thought that was a really unique perspective as to somebody we oftentimes think is, quote, disabled or damaged, is not. It's a very beautiful person who just sees the world in a different way. And Erin was one of my favorite characters, partly because she loves Star Trek Next Generation, but that's
the original.
I thought it was really interesting, you know, and maybe that there's a kid out there that stops and thinks, oh, that kid's not different. That's a person just like me that just sees things differently.
And not to belabor this, but how prescient was this the day after the Academy Awards, and for young people to see what happens in society and how thoughts are controlled? And, you know, we've seen it through the media, we've seen it through our politics, Supreme Court, and other ways where women have been, you know, silenced.
I question one other ethical position that was taken there that was really disturbing to me. The teacher was speaking and referenced, well, you know, your grandmother is here and her paperwork is not in order.
Yes.
There's an inference there that, you know, you should keep quiet because the exposure of your whole family will be involved in that. That was really ugly pressure. Very, very ugly.
I think overall, the author did a magnificent job. If you take a look at the subject matter, I mean, it's ugly. It's everything we hope the world was not. And the author takes it and drops it into the reader's lap, drops it into your hands. It's unavoidable. At no point during the course of reading that book do you escape it. And during that, and the author is aware of what they're doing because they're bringing the ugly to you. There's no other way to describe the ugly. And during that, they're bringing these beautiful voices forward that show the human side of it and their pathway through this muck and mire that they didn't create in a lot of ways. You know, us adults were responsible for, you know, kids are smarter than we give them credit for. And the author knows that, so that's why, you know, the book is brought to us in the way it was brought to us. Like you said, if they see something condescending, kids sniff that out in the heart.
It's subtle many times, and I'm not sure if a teenager would get that subtlety until they stepped away and thought about it. It really happens when an adult decides to pressure a child, and that kind of pressure presents itself in many ways. And it's important that a teenager recognize when that pressure is being applied. And that, I think, was done well.
Our conversation last week about a different book dealt a lot with empathy. I believe that is also a very important aspect of this conversation, too, as this book builds empathy for voices that are often silenced by a rape culture, by a male-dominated patriarchy that can totally disenfranchise these voices of these teenagers. I also did some research, and I found a thing from an organization called Lauren's Kid that wrote an executive summary in 2015 about child sexual abuse in Florida. So it's almost 10 years old. So these stats have probably only grown, although I did not look at recent stats, so I'm saying that out of just my own thought process. But between 361,000 and 596,000 Florida children are or will become victims of sexual abuse before turning 18 in this state, which is less than 10% of the nation's population.
Can you repeat that number?
Between 361,923 and 596,458 Florida children, this is in 2015, by the way, will or are victims of sexual abuse before turning the age of 18. And we know that COVID has exacerbated all of the problems in our society, and with kids going home for that year and a half, that number has probably ballooned. So it's not just a book for this country, it's a book for our state, for our community, because those are our kids too. And yes, the topic is difficult, it's brutal, it hits you in the face hard, but the first step to solving a problem is admitting that there is one. And if we don't take the steps, we don't have these types of books in the classrooms or available for students to pick out, then those problems go swept under the rug. And that is not going to help solve them.
Does the material enable students to make intelligent judgments in their daily lives?
I think if a teen reads this and goes, man, my boyfriend sounds like that,
yes,
then yeah, because I don't think every teen gets it until they read it. I remember we were talking, I was talking with a friend about a book, and she's like, I didn't know my family was abusive until I read a book where it was happening, and it was bad in the book. And I'm like, so if this helps one kid get out of an unhealthy relationship, then yeah, for sure.
And I think it promotes empathy, social awareness, and particularly situational awareness. Like, when you're in the moment, you realize you're not in a safe space. You gotta get out or you gotta find somebody.
And it just lets them know they're not alone.
Right.
Yes.
I think to your point about the principal and the insinuation threat, is that, and that goes along with what these boys did to these girls, that they looked for how they could exploit a vulnerability. And studies show that one statistic I saw that like one in five parents out there are victims of sexual abuse because people exploit that. And like she exploited that with Regina and whatever. It's so, if it, like you said, makes young people stop and think, not only, especially a young woman who may think, maybe I don't want to put myself in this situation, I'm just safe, I'll be okay. And they make a better decision not to put themselves in that, and that saves their life and keeps them safe. That's wonderful. And it encourages discussion between families and moms and daughters or whatnot, and fathers and sons too, because, you know, I sit back and I was getting angry. You know, I wanted to punch a few women in that locker room, you know, and how they're talking about women and stuff like that. And reading those blog excerpts and stuff was really, that's really tough. It's like, how do you think that way? I have granddaughters, I have daughters, and I'm like, I know there's, you know, guys out there that will do that, and that's horrible. You know, I wasn't raised that way or whatnot. So that, and that other people are aware of that, and that they look out for it, and hopefully it raises some awareness with any of the readers.
The boys were often, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Were often treated as, I felt almost flat characters, but mm-hmm. what they were pointing out was entitlement and privilege. It was stated throughout, you know, he didn't look like someone who would commit mm-hmm. this, even from some of the victims, and how it's perpetuated through society just because, hey, they're athletes. We've heard it before. We don't want to ruin their lives. So, yeah, it's critical that that's pointed out.
If I may, the question about judgments, I thought that the author did a wonderful job of modeling this kind of internal dialogue and reflection that each character, no matter where they were on the spectrum, in addition to, you know, Aaron Grace and Rosina, but where they were, their thought processes, how to make those judgments. You know, how do I think critically about this? Do I just move on from this, or do I stop and ponder, what is this, what decisions can I make in these situations? So I thought that that was an extra powerful piece that she skillfully made happen.
I was going to say, I agree that while I know the focus is on the topic of sexual assault, I think one of the most valuable lessons in it is about reaching across to people.
Yep.
I mean, we've all been there in high school cafeterias where the popular kids are there and the nerdy kids are here, and I mean, that's a part of our society. And the lesson about learning to reach across and include people who are not in your group, that's a life skill for adults. And I think that the author offered strategies, those meetings that the girls had where they were listening to each other and maybe understanding each other better. I just thought that was really exciting. That was separate from really the core topic.
I think it's worthy of note, too, that even your good guy character, I think his name is Jesse or such of a J, it takes him the duration of the book to realize his change. It's very easy to be on cruise control and think, I'm a good guy, I wouldn't let that happen. But he's friends with the rapists.
Especially because he
like, but look at me, I'm inclusive because I accept my sibling.
Yeah, my trans sibling.
Right, like, I'm really good over here, so, like, ignore the fact that I'm not okay over here.
And so this book challenges those so self-perceived good guys to not just be not sexist, but to be anti-sexist, because there's no such thing as not sexist. It shouldn't be sexist or not sexist. It needs to be sexist or anti-sexist. Otherwise, you're just a silent voice, and silence always helps the oppressor. And I think on page 20, Rosina has a really beautiful quote. She says, people don't want to hear something that'll make their lives more difficult, even if it's the truth. And I think that's this book, my sidebar. People hate having to change the way they see things. So instead of admitting the world is ugly, they shit on the messenger for telling them all about it. I think that really is a great summary of this book and why it gets challenged in many different areas around the country. Because it's not just in our community that it's being challenged. It's being challenged in many different communities. Because the message is hard to hear. But, like I said before, change doesn't come from easiness. Discomfort's often a catalyst.
Does the material offer an opportunity to understand more of the human conditions?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. We've blamed, we've hit that over and over again.
Victim blaming, patriarchal structures, perpetuating sexual violence, the things young people have to face in order to try to make change in a society, and other challenges. So.
Can we add the complex mother-daughter relationship?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That really kind of just tied in with what you were saying.
And I feel like, I think I cried the hardest when all the kids, like, talked to their parents finally.
Yes.
Like, please tell me there's something. Somebody will talk to me.
Like, I also thought it was interesting, like, I don't read a lot of YA as much as I used to, but I don't find that a lot of main characters or main point of views deal with them. A very like faith-based character,
yes.
And I assumed that that character was going to go in a more rebellious route, and she didn't. And I thought that was kind of refreshing to see. Like she's like, no, I believe what I believe, and I'm going to keep that. And she became a more accepting person. But I thought it was very interesting the way. And I've read other read books who, that don't do this at all. So like to see Grace have grace for others and keep her faith throughout the book while she navigated these things, I thought was actually really interesting.
And others respected that.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing that in this world, I mean, just I'm not young. You know what I mean? The world has changed, you know, a little bit in 40 years or so since I was in high school. You know, but these kids these days, they grow up in many ways in an echo chamber. You know, we think it's not even a microcosm. You have the whole world at your fingertips. They may not even realize the life of the person sitting next to them. I think more often than not, they don't. So the book did a really great job of showing the kids challenging themselves and bringing themselves, you know, towards each other. You know, but just to touch on the last question we had there, you know, a lot of what we're discussing, a lot of what we're always talking about how the girls can protect themselves, and, you know, I hate that statement as a guy. Because I too wasn't raised that way. You know what I mean? You know, men in this book have a responsibility as well. Where are you in all of this? And I think one of the girls brought it out, Kara, because I can't remember. And she brought it out. You know, where is your voice in all of this? We're half human race. Why don't we stand up for it anywhere near as much as we do? So it's not just the girls. You know, to me, you know, it's not what she's wearing or what she's saying or how she's looking. Where is the man in all of this? The book asks that question silently during the whole thing. Where are the guys in this? Their absence speaks volumes.
It strikes me that the question about is it giving us information about the human condition? It outrages me that we are still dealing with this, and actually even worse than it was before. And I think part of that is social media. I mean, we dealt with the same thing. And now my daughters are grown, and it'll be my granddaughters. Why are we still here? So there's some kind of disconnect somewhere. And I, you know, the silence is violence because somebody's letting it happen and it's continuing to happen. So where are we going wrong? That's my question.
And I think to your point too, I mean, from a human condition standpoint, there's so many different aspects of that in this book. And, you know, I think there's so many characters that are well representative, that are identifiable to a lot of different young people, where Grace is obviously very self-conscious of her body because of and body shaming and those types of things that go on. And then there's also the relationship piece, and I thought there was really good representation of various relationship types, whether it be mother and daughter, father, son. But there was also the difference in relationships that are truly intimate and ones that are just physical, and ones that, you know, are friendships and stuff that are really magical. But I thought it was really interesting in the one scene where the young girl were in her bedroom and she says, you know, I really want you to respect my decision to be a part of the strike and whatnot like that. And he agrees and he respects that. And then they're sitting there like, what do we do now? And she's like, I guess we talk. And I thought that was really cool when you saw a very different relationship evolve with Rosina and Melissa, who find friendship first. And there's also this attraction there, but it's truly a relationship built on respect for one another and more of a friendship, and that's more intimate, I think.
So. And a part that was important to me, it describes the victim and how the victim feels, and I kind of wish they got to this more explicitly. It's not just women being abused. Mm-hmm. And having that understanding, and you've heard it throughout my lifetime, well, why didn't the person react this way after the abuse? And they did a really good job of reiterating that over and over again.
Well, they was clearly shown with Erin. I'm sorry, it was clearly shown with Erin. I mean, how did Erin hide the secret from the best friend of Zena during the course of the entire book? At the very end, it's hard to know the inside of another person's mind or heart. But someone had mentioned, you know, what is the face of a rapist? Look around. Could be anyone. By that same token, anyone else could be a victim. So it speaks also to our empathy towards each other, which is the bringing together portion that allows that to happen to begin with. If you don't care about the next person, yeah, you're not helping. You care about others, yourself, you will. But just the idea that she could hide that secret for that long and somebody just brushed it off as though that's just in her way, kind of a thing. That in itself tells you how deeply rooted the issues and the trauma and the heartbreak go, where you can put up that facade, create that mechanism, and just paint your face for 30 years like that. You know what I mean? And just no one would ever know. So,
does the material offer an opportunity to better understand and appreciate the aspirations, achievements, and history of diverse groups of people?
Erin's a prime example of someone who's neurodiverse, who, you know, you really felt like you were inside of her head. I think that was the whole point of this.
I found some of the representation to be a little more surface level, but it was published 6 years ago, and I think that's kind of indicative of what was being published at the time, and I think that newer books sometimes do that representation a little bit better, but I think that it was really refreshing to have such a diverse cast of characters and different points of view.
Is the content timely and or relevant?
Yes.
Yes.
I think Caitlin hit it on the head with the word unfortunately, yes. It shouldn't have to be, and you said that too. We should not be having this conversation generation after generation after generation.
I wish I could tell you that I hadn't heard this story from 12 women in middle school.
Does this work have literary merit?
Yes.
And it's not presented as factual, so we'll skip over that. Does the material take into consideration the students' varied interests, abilities, and or maturity levels?
I think something that, like, the book is really uncomfortable, but also you can't get past the blurb, which I teach kids to read the back or the jacket without knowing that you're getting into a book that's going to be uncomfortable. So even though some students might not be mature enough for this, like, they would know that from the back of the book or the inside jacket immediately. Like, oh, this is not for me, which is what we train our children to do. If you read the back of a book or the first page and you're like, oh, this is too much, then put it down. No one's forcing you to read a self-selected book.
Right.
That's
why it's
self-selected.
Yeah, we're talking about self-selection here, and I think that by it being so contemporary, we've got the blog, which you could think of as Snapchat now, or a TikTok, disgusting, but it's timely.
Andrew Tate's YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, I have kids that don't want to read about animals dying, and they would put that book down too. And every reader's different, and they know their own.
And it needs content and trigger warnings. It does, even as a self-selected book.
I would think that if someone were to check this out, that the adult would have that kind of that check-in conversation. We don't check books out in the media center like robotically. No, there is a human interaction every time you make a book check out.
Does the material help to provide representation for various religious, ethnic, cultural groups and their contribution to these groups to American heritage?
Yeah, I think you also did a great job of showing how, you know, cross-culturally the issue affects, you know, everyone. It gives you, I hate the word stereotypes, but it gives you characters that are easily digestible, readily identifiable for the reader, and I think because of that, that done with complete intent, so that it opens up a wide market of kids who can read the book, and not only kids, but adults as well. And I think it was designed that way.
American heritage is marked by, you know, challenge and struggle against oppression, as is the girl's story, but it's also marked by those in power using that power to exploit others, which we see in this book as well. You can't have one without the other in this country, and our country has a deeply exploitative history. And this book, using those male characters, including the sheriff, showcases that exploitation, two of those girls, for their bodies and more. And our heroines, they persevere through all of that, even when they don't want to, or when they're being blackmailed by a principal, or threatened by their own mother, stand up against enormous odds to effect change, and that wasn't ever guaranteed change either. And they use their varied interests, their varied backgrounds to build a cohort of like-minded but still very diverse individuals to effect that important change. And it's only a small community, a fictionalized community, in a very real city of Prescott, Oregon, but if we want to go back to the question of students using this to make positive judgments in their lives, there it is. Change can be affected from a small moment, and a small moment of looking at the floorboard and seeing some scratches in the paint. That's the catalyst for the book. Well, for Grace's part of the story.
I thought this aspect of it was really interesting and really good, because it made it even more relatable, because you saw characters like Verzina and the family that she grew up in understanding how important work is, dedication to family and all, and she's having to sacrifice her dreams and struggling with that. I just want to put this aside, but she feels, you know, drawn and loves her family as well. And then just across town, it's very different for somebody of another ethnic background. And then I really thought it was interesting to portray the three varying aspects of, you know, religion in some ways, where you had, or this Catholic, which I know that guilt all too well, where the you know, this hard, great, or hard, staunch, strict religious community that Grace's mother was basically expelled from, and then this other approach. And then I thought that one part where Grace was talking about how religion was influencing her value system and her decision making, and that it really pushed her to continue and do what she did, because her religious teaching was, you stand up to that. That was everything that she had learned. You look for that injustice and you stand up for it. You don't turn away from it and shy away from it. So I thought that was really, really a plus and a wonderful part of this.
And she asked for guidance throughout. I mean, she asked God for guidance. She felt like she was getting help and had faith to lean on throughout as well.
Does this material provide representation to students based on race, color, religion, sex, gender, age, marital status, so on?
I think it hits every one of those in some stereotypical or shallow
right,
way.
Yeah,
like to the, you know, almost too much of an extent,
mm-hmm.
but it's all there.
Yeah.
Everyone can find someone they identify with, I think.
One of the brilliant things that the author did was that it kept vacillating back and forth between the main characters, and then every now and then there would be
yep.
a character called Us.
Yes.
And when you realize who they were.
They're faceless, they're nameless,
mm-hmm.
they're the any woman, they can
yeah.
be anybody. You don't know their age, you don't know if they're married, they're rich, poor, black, it doesn't matter. Those chapters were just brilliant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing home the point that this is our problem, not just
mm-hmm.
the kids in school.
Could this work be considered offensive in any way because of, and we're going to go through the different areas. What areas of this book could be considered offensive?
All of them.
All of
them.
All
especially
of them.
In isolation.
Yeah.
So profanity.
Brutality. Religion or portrayal of religion. Language.
Would that be offensive to the religion?
Maybe that because of the fact that the church kicks her mom like out and then they have that negative experience, I thought like maybe someone might read that, like, well, that would never happen. Well,
oh, gotcha.
But I don't know, I was kind of just
I
trying
figure
to
you're
read.
Going
yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I would disagree with, I mean, this is just for me, I would disagree with the pure Capronian behavior.
Yeah.
I didn't find any of that. I didn't find any depiction of sexuality in any way, shape, or form, Capronian or erotic in any way, shape, or form. Honestly, it was.
I think
some of it was crude, some of it was.
Yeah, I took that as like the blogs, the Real Men Plus Got blogs.
Yeah.
But they are an important advancement of the plot.
Of course, yeah.
You have to have them.
Yeah.
You've got to have an antagonist there, and
right.
you've got to hate them. And I don't know of any fictional character I hate more. Honestly.
He's like Gaston.
Yeah.
He's one of the worst Disney villains. Because everyone loves him, too.
But there's no song.
They love the jocks. They're the heroes of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to your point, sir, too, the question asks, could this work be considered offensive anyway? Not do you
yeah.
feel that way? And I think that all of them could, on some level, be thought of offensive.
Oh, I understand. I
yeah.
understand. I'm just saying,
right.
Get away from it. I didn't see anything in his book.
Mm-hmm. I thought that there was a...
And Pruitt is... very specifically, you think of the definition, you know, is this work written in a way to produce an arousal?
Okay,
is it
right.
written in a way to be shameful?
Right.
Because, and I want to point that out because that's going to lead us into the next
yes,
part of the conversation as
right.
the appropriateness
right.
of it or not.
Thank
right.
you.
Yeah,
yes,
so
that was such a big deal because I know that we'll get there, but reading the objection, the pornography, again, intent is arousal.
Mm-hmm.
Intent
yeah.
is not arousal in this book. Okay.
So would you like me to uncheck prurient behavior?
I don't think
it's
so.
Up to the team.
Yeah.
I don't see any intent.
I don't
that
either.
Okay,
so going into our purpose for being here, and I know we're going to circle back to the questions
mm-hmm.
from page one. The complaint is around pornography, and we've had one of our committee members to talk a little bit about pornography, but also about appropriateness of the age of the student. So considering appropriateness of the age of a student, we've discussed pornography not being the intent of the writing is not written for pornography or prurient ways, but we have to consider harmful to minors as well as the appropriateness of the materials to be in a school library is the purpose that we are here today. Before we go into that discussion, were there any pages of the material that you had questions about? Any pages, because you had access to the original complaint, were there pages you had questions about, pages you feel strongly that we need to discuss in more detail?
As far as one.
Yeah.
Any
yeah, anything that, yeah. I can pass this to you.
I have one as well.
Yeah, any pages that there is, we need to discuss more.
I wondered at times if it was just a word on the page that made the complaint come up, you know, oftentimes, or if they're taken out of context. I was kind of confused with some of them. I mean, some of them, okay, you know, there's F words, you know, in there, and that could be the objection that we were saying.
Yeah, profanity is part
yes,
of that.
Yes, the profanity. But other times I wondered, what is there a word in here? Because I don't see that on the, like on page 403. What in this particular page is are we meaning for? You know, I was just confused.
I had the same question. All I could find on that was that there's a sentence that says, "This is about Lucy. She knows her rapists have been arrested." I couldn't find any other.
Is it the word?
I counted 8 pages. Yeah. I wrote them down.
Yeah,
I was the thing that was on each page. One of the pages was flagged for saying the word abortion.
Stop.
Right. I know when I used to.
One of them, yeah, Lucy was saying there's no bad words. She's just talking about having been raped. Another one talks about female genital mutilation. Like, it's a fact.
Despite the good news, this is page 403. Despite the good news, there was still that case a couple months ago about the boy who was caught raping a passed out girl in his frat house laundry room. Even the eyewitnesses, even the video evidence, he still only got 3 months because he was rich, because he was white.
I thought immediately of Brock Turner there.
Yeah, I did.
Vanderflug. Mm-hmm.
Caitlin, what were you going to say earlier?
I was just saying, when I used to choose read-alouds, if I were into a book for instruction, which is very different, sometimes I would, you know, use my Kindle and search the upward to make sure it wasn't there. And I do think sometimes that might be what's lacking these pages, but for self-selected reading, profanity alone is not going to be the thing that keeps a book off of a shelf, in my professional opinion.
There's also some resources out there where it's kind of listed if you want to go at a certain title. These are the pages and so forth where these are, so it may just be that rope.
So no pages that we need to discuss any further. Okay, coming back to our last three questions. One, and we don't have to answer this question, this is the vote, is do you feel this material has a purpose for our school library collection? That will be your vote, so we're not asking that last question, but the two questions at the top, really having conversations around, is the work suitable? What grade levels is the work suitable for? And are the concepts presented in a manner appropriate to the ability and maturity of the suggested audience?
I think 9 through 12, definitely. I think it's definitely relatable. I don't think it's anything that students in that grade level are not going to encounter. I don't think it encourages them in any way for bad behavior, or I think it 100% discourages that. But and I think it prepares especially young people as they approach their senior and high school year and moving on into life better than they would without having that hard discussion and that uncomfortable topics that they could be experiencing.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research, and the CDC, according to the CDC, almost 10% of teenage girls report having experienced rape, which if you do the math, that would be around 125 at FDA alone. So this isn't like a brand new concept. Some of these people, I know I had students that would talk about it and did. And according to Rain, one out of every 6 American women has been the victim of an attempted or completed rape in their lifetime. So they're going to experience it, or if they haven't, if they are one of the lucky ones, then their friends will, their sisters will. So having this information, and it's not written in a way that's going to arouse or excite, and it's not overly graphic, it describes what happens, but it's not in a way that's going to be difficult for a teenager to understand.
And as Caitlin said earlier, if this saves one person from having to experience that, the months-long process, years-long process of authoring a book, it's worth it. I think Amy Reed would say the same.
And I know I already brought it up, but no kid is going to go into this book blind to the fact that this is going to be about rape. Like, it's very clearly on all of the material on the actual book. So if that's something that a child is not ready for, a student is not ready to read that, then there's nothing forcing them to read this in a self-selected library situation.
The question to the group, is this available, or was this available in middle school media centers?
No, and on the middle school side of this, there are books that are written for a younger audience that touch this topic in a much more delicate way that are available. Something as simple as one's calling Maybe He Just Likes You, and it's about navigating friendships and relationships at a younger age, but, you know, with parental permission that a student could ask for high school, but that would be a
thank you for answering that, since my daughter is in sixth grade. And
this
that's
is not
I,
on the
yeah. Well, no, I meant more for, I trust her to be exposed to this because they are being exposed to this problem, and we can't act like it doesn't happen even though they're at a younger age. But yeah, I wouldn't.
This book is not in our.
Not yet. That's what I think.
Recommendations about the topic for the gentle or younger age.
Thanks, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the author, Amy Reed, from what I've read, is she's a mom. She has a daughter, and she wrote something for teens, and I find it very hard to believe that the mom would write something for teens that she, in fact, thought would be harmful for her own child.
And the epigraph is two words simply, for us.
I also think that these are topics that teens are naturally curious about. And I would rather that my daughters read about them in a book that offers strategies about how to be strong, how to be physically healthy, mentally healthy, rather than finding them online where maybe the risky behaviors are encouraged or celebrated and presented in a completely different way.
Or worse, their experience.
Right.
Or you got blog.
We ask children to grow up, and we're asking them. We need to ask them to navigate a world as it is, not as we would have it, as they would have it.
Yeah,
and you're navigating the dangers in this world. It's our job to make sure that they see them and have access to the understanding of what those dangers are and how they should conduct themselves.
And you can see comments like that blog on pictures of women in their Oscars gowns online today. Yeah. If you went, it's the horrible things that people say to each other online. I don't think it's. Students are already exposed to it, and it's better for them to read a book and come to their parents with questions and ask for help or ask questions than to be let out without any of that.
I mean, not just exposed to it. I brought up Andrew Tate earlier. A lot of my boys worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's in Romanian prison, they still are carrying water for him. So this issue of rape culture, of, you know, this patriarchal system that exploits women for their bodies is very real and very dangerous.
And that's the middle school boys are also very into
Andrew
Tate as
well. The incel, involuntary celibate culture is alive and thriving in many dark corners of the internet.
I just recently learned what that was.
I agree with the age range of 9 to 12. However, I have had a student in the 6th grade become pregnant because she was raped. I do realize that the TV shows them more explicit items than we could ever find in this book. We just have to deal with, this is a help, this is a source of help, and a source of a way to think beyond victim. So I
advocates
stick with the 9 to 12, but I recognize that the TV and the things that are happening to them much younger than grades 9 to 12. They're watching for you.
I've learned some things from my 6th grader that would blow your mind.
Mm-hmm. And then I think creators are like, oh, what do you watch on TV? Oh, I watch Euphoria. I'm like,
Yeah. And while this is raw, it was sensitive enough to where I think a few of you shared that this is a resource for students as well.
And parents.
And parents.
Yes.
Anything
else, any other additional comments that need to be made around the material? So our vote taking into consideration everything that we've discussed today, our vote is around the appropriateness for it to be included into our school libraries, specifically our school libraries. If you need a copy of the ballot, I have a copy. If you printed out a copy yourself, you're more than welcome to use it. I'm going to just send a stack around. Take one.
Is it the one that starts with
title
yeah. recommendation? Where it says recommendation.
The back page.
So formatting, mine ended up half on this page and then the rest. So you prefer one of these to keep them separate?
You can put it, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Yeah, okay. It does not matter. Once you have made your selection, you can fold and send it to me. If it is a part of your packet and you can separate it from your packet, please do so. If not, if it's like yours where it's doubled up, then just send it into your packet.
Okay.
Fold it over. Yep, just fold it over. And you're going to send it towards me.
Is it possible to share this? My mother, my senior mom asked. I shared this with her today.
Share what?
And she, my explanation and reason. And she just, she was so sweet. And I don't know. Does it need to be private or can I share?
The additional comments?
Your comment?
Yeah.
You can share the comment, yes.
So I said, Nowhere Girls is rich with themes of decision-making, change-making, fitting in, family dynamics, work-life balance, relationship building, dealing with rejection, being new in school, questioning stereotypes, friendship, faith, coming of age, discovering your voice, overcoming obstacles, grassroots organizing, fighting rape culture, consent, justice, and the struggle to feel acknowledged, loved, seen, and protected. The book as a whole and resources listed for those who have suffered sexual abuse may serve as a lifeline in addition to offering courage by example to those who may be aware of a friend or family member suffering violence. This is a powerful read for any high school girl, especially the many affected by or living with related circumstances. Empowering young women who stand up for themselves and others contributes to a safer family and community.
Very well stated. One coming. Here comes another.
Okay, so it is retain high school only, and that is the recommendation that we will provide to the superintendent once the superintendent has reviewed the material, reviewed all of this information. The superintendent will write a letter to the complainant, and that will be in support or rejection of what this committee has made with recommendation the committee.
That was unanimous?
Unanimous, yes. If you will send to me your questionnaires coming way, please.
I included the additional research in mind for the record.
Okay.
Including my annotations. Well, at least highlights.
I do appreciate the time that you have dedicated to being a part of this committee. If you have any questions for me at the end, I will be here and around, but thank you each of you for coming and being a part of this committee and a part of the important work related to the previous election.
Thank you very much.
Great format, and thank you to all the educators who worked all day.
Thank you. Thank you to all.
I'm sure they did. Thank you to everyone.